I had the coolest experience at the gynecologist yesterday. So I'm pretty perceptible to yeast infections, so I'm always extra careful. But went for a long walk this summer, and that did it for me. And when I do get yeast infections, they take so long to go away. It's so annoying. And I had a gynecologist. My gynecologist yesterday gave me, oh my gosh, I'm like, she's a superstar in my eyes now. She gave me the best recommendation. So I'm definitely one of those girlies who tried the whole non-sugar Greek yogurt, apply that years ago when it was so hard to get rid of it. Like, they just kept coming back. And I haven't tried alternative methods aside from applying coconut oil this time around to reduce the like itching, to just soothe my skin because it was getting really inflamed. And my gynecologist told me, you can dip, her recommendation is to dip a tampon in apple cider vinegar and then, you know, insert it. And you do that, I guess, as like a regular thing to maintain your vaginal flora. So you don't even have to wait until you get a yeast infection. You can do it as a preventative measure, and I'm sure as a natural measure when you think you're about to get one or you're starting to get one. She says it's completely safe, it's natural. Obviously check with your own doctor before you try it, but I am going to trust my gynecologist on this one. And I just really freaking amazing. I just think it's so cool that she said that, because so often we try, you know, natural remedies because we don't want to, you know, I'm really conscious of the fact that I don't want to take too much antibiotics, especially if it's a persistent yeast infection. And they've got me on a lot of stuff. Lord Jesus. And so it's always like, well, there must be a natural way. There must be. And to feel seen in the gynecologist's office yesterday, oh my God, so, I wish this experience upon every single woman. And I hope that more doctors start to do this and offer options that are not just, oh, you're in here, I'm going to treat this with this prescription, but what can we do preventatively to maintain our vaginal health? So I just so freaking appreciated that. I immediately went to Trader Joe's and got some apple cider vinegar because this is going to, I have a few things that I try to do every month for my pussy, and this is going to be one of them. So I just wanted to pass that along. If anyone else gets pesky yeast infections, especially in the summer, and yeah, woman to woman, a little piece of advice. But let's get into this episode. Let's talk about, oh, wait, I gotta introduce myself. Hi, I'm Unique Bell, and I'm the Pussy Queen. I blend tantric philosophy, science, and my own embodied soul wisdom to help women, men, non-binary people, and couples recover their original soul essence and sacred bond. I empower women with the tools to deepen into pussy consciousness, reclaim their sacred slut, and go deeper into their personal wild. And I help men reclaim and integrate their primal sexual power, experience sexual mastery, and liberate their energy from cock to crown. You're listening to the Women Gone Wild podcast. This is episode 105, Accessing the Heart's Innate Intelligence. Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness, my dreams have been so specific lately, and I'm recording this at like 5 a.m. I actually wanted to wake up at 4 a.m. y'all to record, just because it's just quieter, and I've been struggling all week. I have so much to record, as you know, Wild Lyric Orgasmic is opening soon. I'm recording a ton for the practices, the lectures. Doors will open not this weekend, not this week, but the following week. That first week of October, which is my birthday month, by the way. Anyways, and so I've been working my little booty off to try to record, and so I was like, I'm gonna wake up super early. I like was in a half asleep daze for the 4 a.m. hour, so that didn't happen. But my dreams they're still like in the front of my mind, and I'm like, what do they mean? I had such a weird series of dreams last night. I think friendships and love and community have been like in my subconscious mind, because it was like, you know, when you have people who you never really speak to anymore, or maybe you never did show up in your dreams, you're like, but why brain? What are you trying to tell me? I don't know. I gotta sit with that. Also, let's talk about making friends as an adult, especially making friends as an online business owner. I think I've gotten better at it, but I need to up my game. At least I think that's what my dream is telling me. Anyways, let's focus. You just got a little peek into my dream world. Oh my gosh, this is so perfect, right? So we're going to be talking about accessing the heart's innate intelligence. And yeah, that is on brand for this episode. I was like, am I being too distracted? No, I think that's on brand. And we're going to be talking about, the difference in like, how do you actually access your heart's innate intelligence versus the kind of, like follow your heart, like trust your heart, you know, the way we do it usually, where we are not actually accessing the heart. It's actually you're thinking about what your heart might want. And so hopefully you'll learn how to tap into this magical place today. This episode goes with our month one of Bliss Body Sexual Alchemy Heart Magic. And it's an accompaniment. Is that a word? Anyways, it accompanies that month. Usually these Bliss Body episodes are Bliss Body exclusives, but I'm allowing you to listen in on this one because I think it's going to serve everyone. And if you would like to come into Bliss Body and join our year-long sexual alchemy journey, feel free to join when doors reopen for season 2 in probably December, end of November. So you can look out for that if it's a journey you're interested in. We're working on mastering heart magic and sexual alchemy, manifesting using your sexual energy, which is really fun. And yeah, I'll probably include it as a bonus for Wildly Orgasmic. So if you want to join Wildly Orgasmic, you'll probably get to join Bliss Body as well for at least, you know, a few months. So anyways, before we get into this episode, which I think will be very fruitful and beautiful, announcements. What do I have to announce? So I've already told you Wildly Orgasmic is opening next week, not this week, but the week afterwards, that first week of October. If you're not familiar with this program, Wildly Orgasmic, I've actually extended it from the 6-week masterclass. It's now a 4-month deep dive, just because I wanted to go deeper and give you more practices. I wanted to go deeper, particularly into the 3 core pleasure expanders that I'm covering. And this program is for you if you struggle with your orgasm or you're ready to expand your orgasm. What do I mean by experiencing expanded orgasms? So number one, expand them in the location, right? Location wise, right? So actually experience orgasms, not just maybe through clitoral stimulation, but also vaginally, breast orgasms. We'll cover a few different orgasms, including full body orgasms, and give you the techniques to experience your orgasm in new places, and really focusing on mastering the three core pleasure expanders, so that you can use this tool to experience pleasure more deeply, right? So actually build up your somatic sensitivity, your pleasure sensitivity, and your somatic awareness, which is like the bedrock of orgasming, right? So actually being able to feel, right? A lot of us are actually numb or desensitized. And so these tools are going to help you to bring back sensitivity so that you can feel sensation. Like, I remember the first times I went to the gynecologist, whenever they would do swab tests or anything, I didn't really feel it. And this past month, and having to, you know, deal with this yeast infection debacle, I have been like so stunned, because it's not like they're in there for long or applying. I feel it. I actually feel the little swab thingy, and I was like, oh my God, I am getting so sensitive. Oh my goodness. Oh man. I also just remembered. So I actually teach this in my Pussy Elixir program. I teach how to have orgasms while deep throating or giving a blowjob. And I experienced one this week, and I was like, oh my goodness. Because usually it's like, you know, I try to focus there, but I wasn't even focusing. I was just enjoying the moment and using the core tools that you'll learn in Wildly Orgasmic. And out of nowhere, boom, orgasmic, right? And so this is a level of being in your body, flowing with sensations, that I want to help you to get to. This is what I mean by becoming wildly orgasmic, is mainly having this level of ease with your orgasm, where you're, for example, giving a blowjob, not even thinking about it, and yet you can become orgasmic, right? You're not even really trying. This is the level of ease that I want to give to you. And these are the main tools that you'll see me use in client sessions, or if you come into Pussy Elixir, we go really deep into these tools, but you're getting a very rich experience in Wildly Orgasmic, because you're focusing just on building up your orgasm. So that's the first part of being Wildly Orgasmic. The second part is you get to choose, right? So what are those kinds of orgasms that are important to you? I'm going to show you how to unlock different kinds of, you know, pleasure in different parts of your body. And so you get to choose which ones are most important to you and which ones you're going to focus on mastering, right? And that's it, right? Becoming wildly orgasmic is having this ease with your orgasm and becoming orgasmic in the ways that are important to you. And so if you are like, yeah, this journey is for me, you can actually get onto the wait list right now. So I'll leave the link in the show notes. It's just uniquebell.com/wildlyorgasmic. But I also have a free class. So if you kind of want to dip your toes, I'm doing a free 30-minute pleasure class. This is different than, you know, the kind of webinar style classes. I did a couple of those this summer. We're coming back to pleasure classes. So I did this actually a few months ago at the start of summer. And, you know, I don't know that if everyone was ready to go there, right? And so as a free introductory class, I'm kind of giving you some introductory tools. If you'd like, at the very end, we have a mini pleasure class that you can take part in, but it's going to be introductory. We'll do a couple practices, and we'll do a couple like mindset work as well. And it's called Rewild and Unleash Your Orgasms. And we have a couple time slots this week, and I'll also add some for next week as well. So if you are absolutely interested, and you also want to, you know, meet me, feel the vibe, feel if it's for you. Come to the free class. There won't be replays for these, so do show up live. And I have varied the time so that hopefully it lands when you're out of work, or maybe it's an early morning, and you can, you know, give yourself those 30 minutes to learn and possibly take part in the pleasure portion of the class as well. So all the info to all of this, like always, is in the show notes. You can also go to uniquebelt.com/free training to access the to sign up for the free class. I hope to see you there. Alrighty, so those are the main announcements. Nothing else is new. Oh my gosh, I gave you life updates, program updates. It's time to get into it. We checked all the boxes. Oh, wait, right. So if you're a new listener, hey, newbies, you've really just dived into the deep end here with me. If you're new here, this is us. Welcome to our tribe. You'll find lots of delicious sex tips in this podcast, and I also delivered them via email. So you can go ahead and grab your a couple freebies that I have. I have the 5 secrets to wilder, deeper, more orgasmic sex. You can grab that freebie on my homepage, uniquebelt.com, and you can also take my intimacy accelerator quiz to get matched with a 7-day free practice. So go ahead and take that quiz. There's something there for women, men, couples, and it'll match you with the perfect practice for you to try for 7 days to expand your pleasure capacity and also build intimacy. So have fun with that. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. And now let's get in. I know these announcements were long, but I had a lot of updates to give you. Okay, so let's get into the show. I love how our first introduction to something can be beautiful and full and all that stuff, and then years later we come back to it and it's like totally different experience, deeper, richer, because that's how I'm feeling with my heart currently, right? My sexual awakening journey started with my heart. I realized I wanted to have more relationships in my life that felt authentic and real. I had a history of just not really showing up as myself because of fear of judgment, or I just didn't believe I was lovable. And I would kind of have these experiences where being my free, silly, fun self, I'd usually, you know, people would be like, tone it down, or have friends kind of not okay it, right? And so these instances led me to kind of hide myself a lot. And of course, when we're in hiding, when we're not showing up as our true selves, even when we have a ton of friends, it can feel like you have zero, because none of these people are meeting the real you. You're not being the real you with them, right? There's no real intimacy when we're not being real. And so for me, my heart has been leading me, and honestly, I kind of forgot how much my heart led me pretty early on in my journey. Because for me, the start of my journey, I had a, you know, younger start, but like the real, like, deepening. Oh, yeah, actually, it's all connected. I shouldn't discard my past because it's all connected. In college, I was a Christian, and the word that would come up a lot in the circles I was in was sanctification and becoming sanctified. In the teachings in Christ, it's almost like it gelling with your identity. Like, you really start to live it. You start to practice on a deeper level. And I wanted that. I wanted to be sanctified in my religion. I wanted to feel sanctified in my faith. I wanted to feel deeply rooted in my faith. And that led to exploration for me, asking questions and really questioning my beliefs, making sure they were built on solid ground. And I found that they weren't. There were things that weren't, A, not healthy for me in terms of my mental health. They were really, really not healthy for me. And there were things that my heart also didn't believe. My heart believed that God is love. God is so loving of everything and everyone, that there's no like, oh, you're not a Christian, so God doesn't love you, you're not going to be saved. That made absolutely no sense to me. I got my bachelor's in religion, and yeah, I went to Israel, and you know, I really thought that would be the trip, right? And that was after a year of really starting to release my faith. I went to Israel, and I was like, it's either going to make it or break it for me, right? Either I'm going to show up in the land of Jesus and my heart's going to make a choice, right? I'm going to be baptized in the soil, not just the water, but in the soil. And my heart opened up to a totally different awareness. My heart opened up to the fact that for me, my spiritual family was not just my Christian brothers and sisters. And in fact, my Christian quote-unquote brothers and sisters didn't really show up for me when I was in this transient state questioning my faith. So I didn't really feel like there was a community there for me, a true community, right? One where I can show up in all my messiness and all my questioning and all my authentic and very much needed questioning, right? And instead, I looked at all these different people I was meeting from different religions, from different walks of life. And I was like, whoa, my heart is totally connected to all these people. And I don't demand anything from them. I don't require anything from them. I don't require their conversion, right? And so my heart has been leading me for quite some time. And it then led me to look at intimate relationships and wanting to date, wanting to find love. And now I'm in a season where my heart is calling me deeper. And this is what led me to create Bliss Body Sexual Alchemy, is this deepening of my own heart that I've been led to go on. And also a little insight into my heart's innate intelligence, finally being able to access it on a deeper level, that I really wanted to share with the world. And now, obviously, I love love. I love to love. I'm in the business of love, right? Literally, I am an intimacy coach. I love love. But if I'm gonna be honest, I really struggled with coming back to the heart this season, in this cycle of my life, because, so like I said, I had a history of people pleasing and abandoning myself and, you know, putting everyone else's needs first and codependency. And so honestly, I've been so scared this year as my heart has been activating. I've been so scared of it, y'all. Oh my God. I just was like, no, please no. Because, and I didn't even really realize that I was, you know, resisting it until I finally, you know, I went on one of my walks where I talked to the trees, and I'm like, what's going on with me, right? And I checked in with myself. But yeah, for me, being in the heart and deepening into the heart, it was clouded by my history as a Christian, and also in these unhealthy dynamics within in relationships with others, right? Hiding myself, not really having emotional integrity, not sharing how I really felt, you know, being non-confrontational in ways, out of fear of losing people, codependent, putting everyone else's emotional needs before mine. And so the thought of coming back to my heart was just like, my gosh, I really don't want to go back to that state. I don't want to go back to the whole, like, kind of Christian version of love that I learned that is very self, is built on self-sacrifice, right? Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that's love, right? That's what we learned. And also the kind of self-abandoning love that I learned from the women in my life, right? My mother, her mother, aunts, you know, all the mature women in my life had this habit of putting either the needs of their family or their partner before them and becoming scornful and resentful about it, as they should, right? Because then they just trained everyone else to put them last, to think that their needs didn't matter, right? And so I really did not want to go back to the state, and I knew that this is an honest tendency of mine. It's a weakness of mine, and it, you know, it even has shown up this year, and I've had to kind of keep it contained, because I am a naturally, my heart is a naturally giving, loving person. I just am, right? I want to be that safe space for people. I want to be that loving space for people, but I also have to make sure that I'm also, you know, showing up for me as well, right? I'm also making sure that my actions are loving to me as well. And I'm sharing this because I know my story is not unique. I know so many of us, especially women, men who are more feminine, like anyone who leans into the feminine or yin side, we tend to associate that with a level of nurturing, which, yes, can be feminine, but is also masculine, right? Like, nurturing is not something that's gender exclusive or energy exclusive, right? But historically, that's what we've been taught. And we haven't been taught a healthy, balanced nurturing. We've been taught a unbalanced, toxic, depleting version of nurturing, so much so that, you know, I'm at the age where I'm thinking about when I'm gonna have kids or start a family. And sometimes my friends and I will joke, like, I can't be watching too many kids. I gotta save some of my energy for when I have my own kids, right? Because we are mentally, and this is something I actually am glad I'm making the connection to, because I want to stop doing that. Because what we are, you know, speaking on a daily basis, that's what we're like planning and creating and deciding that's the reality we're going to walk into, right? And it's this idea that kids are going to be draining, because motherhood, nurturing, is depletion. Some of this have this view about men in relationships. If you're heterosexual, right? That relationships are draining. Men are draining. Men have all these needs and you got to pack their lunch or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, right? That's not love. To be on that toxic end of it, right? Where you're overgiving, you're overdoing, right? And so this is something that I'm actively trying to practice, and not just trying, choosing to practice, and my intimate relationship as well, right? Noticing, oh, you gotta save some for yourself. Don't give everything away, right? Pull back a little bit. And this has been a unlearning, and sometimes it feels unnatural because I have this programming that says give everything, give everything away, and maybe they'll give back, and you know, usually they don't, because again, we're just kind of training people to treat us at a certain level, right? They're like, I guess this is what she likes to do. I guess she doesn't mind, right? Especially when we haven't explicitly said, hey, I want to receive more, right? Do not assume that the more you give, that someone else will then return the giving. Do not assume that the more that you love, that someone will return the love, right? And I'm putting love in quotations here, because truly it's us kind of trying to manipulate, right? Trying to secure love by giving, like showering, right? With gifts, affection, whatever it is, in the hopes that that love will be returned, that that person will almost feel like, oh, she does love me. It's a form of manipulation, right? And so this is a major, major realization for me, because I've been learning how to love, basically, the past few years, how to love myself. And this realization that not only is overgiving and all of this a form of manipulation, but also that my heart, right, I have to save some of that love for myself. And in fact, some of that love actually does want to go to me. A huge portion of that love wants to go to me, right? I had to realize that my heart, that I am included in my heart. My heart is here to love me too. It's not selfish of me to love myself. It's not selfish of me to give to myself. In fact, I would argue that it's actually selfish not to love ourselves and not to give to ourselves, because then we show up and we overgive, or we overlove in quotations here again, right? With an aim to manipulate or aim to an end, right? And it becomes all about us. Our giving and our loving becomes all about us and our fear of not having love, right? So you see how it can become twisted, even though we don't realize it. And so I've been very cautious. I was very cautious about reconnecting with my heart again. And the energy would just wake up on its own. It wasn't something that I intentionally, well, I will say I did set an intention in the fall, in the winter of last year. And I know that's also why I went on this journey this year, but I didn't intend for it to go down like this. I didn't know that it would go down like this. And so coming back to the heart was both scary, but there was just something pulling me towards it inside. I've spoken about this a few times on here, that like in the middle of the night, I would have energy just flowing in my heart space, like activated, turned on, reaching out into the universe, into the, you know, community, trying to connect, I'm assuming with those I'm meant to meet and connect to, and build a community with. And when I experience this, it would feel more uncomfortable and almost like painful to try to clamp down on the energy and force it to stop doing that or try to control it. And I actually found the most ease and kind of like soothing or relaxation. It felt more easeful to just allow the energy to do what it was wanting to do in that moment, to surrender to the process. And so coming back to the heart was scary, but also kind of not completely in my control. My soul had other plans for me. And maybe you're going through a similar season where your heart is calling you deeper and you have a history and you don't want to go to like the toxic places of love, quote unquote love, right? And you actually want to find out what real love is. And of course, we also don't want to go to the other extreme of it, right? Where everything is about us, which I think there is a lot of tendencies to do this in the spiritual world, right? To make it all about you. It's all about how you interpret things. It's all about you. It's all about how you experience things. Or even in the self-development sphere where we're learning how to set boundaries for the first time, right? And it's all about you and how you perceive things. Like, it's not that either, right? It's learning to both have love for yourself and hold others in love, right? Noticing that's not things that have to happen separately, but they're actually happening together, especially when we start to come into the heart. And so what do I mean by accessing the heart's innate intelligence? So I finally took that big leap into my heart this summer, despite all this fear. I just got to a turning point where it was necessary. I really needed to do it. And, you know, for a lot of us, we may have to get to this point. So it might come about if you have the intention to heal resentment, like we're doing in this first month of Bliss Body, right? You will get to a point in your resentment healing where you can't just do it from the mind, right? Just thinking about the situation. You have to come into your heart. And so something like that will kind of force you into your heart. Otherwise, we may not be motivated enough to actually go into the heart space. And also, it's okay to do it in small increments. You don't have to stay there 100% of the time. Of course, as you get more comfortable and you build trust with your heart and you experience your heart, you will want to, because it feels good. That's what motivates me, is that it feels good. It feels better. I actually had a thing happen to me yesterday with a friend where I got so upset. Oh my God, I was like raging. I was like, I was fuming. Literal words that came out of my mouth. I was fuming. And I allowed myself to feel the anger. I worked through it. I realized what boundaries I need to set next time, what I need to communicate more clearly next time. And also, you know, made it clear to this friend that the situation was off for me. And I was able to, you know, ultimately realign with the desire to be in relationship with this person and also let things go, allow this, you know, let go of the resentment I could hold, right, against this person for doing this, and come back to my heart. And the motivation for that is because I felt the disturbance. I felt the disturbance within me. When we're carrying resentment, when we're carrying anger, upset, hate, whatever, you feel uncomfortable. It feels uncomfortable. And sometimes we carry it for so long that we don't even realize how our bodies are responding to the resentment, how we are in a chronic tensing, how we are feeling anxious in our relationships. We don't realize the toll that the resentment is taking, and it is not worth it. It's not worth it. And so I gave myself, you know, a couple minutes just to be in my heart, to kind of experiment with it, see if I could trust it. And I do this a lot. It's something that I do with clients as well, because we have these grandiose ideas about healing, right? And about ourselves and these expectations of what we should be able to do. Like, no, if you are not comfortable being in your heart, that's fucking okay. There's no one you have to impress here. Like, why do we think we need to go to 0 to 100 all the time? We don't. It's okay to take it one step at a time. And so I finally allowed myself to do that. And when I say being in your heart's innate intelligence, it's different than what my younger self used to think being in her heart was. When I actually felt it, I was like, whoa, holy shit, right? Like, this is not that. Everything I've been taught is a lie, right? Because going back to my Christian faith and where I was before, like I said, love was mainly, I thought I was being in my heart, but honestly, I was in my mind. Love was mainly about shitting myself, kind of following examples of what loving action was, right? So if you see that someone stays after church to help clean up, I guess I do that too, right? Regardless of whatever commitments I have afterwards, right? Love became kind of a posturing of following others, following actions, rather than actually being in my heart. It was about shitting myself. It was all often motivated by guilt or shame based on ideas of love. And we talked about the ego last week, and this is actually how I would describe this place where you're thinking about love, being a loving person, but you're actually in your heart, you're more so thinking about what potentially others might see as a loving action, right? And so just as we can have a spiritual ego, I think we can also have an our heart ego. We can have an ego around our hearts and being a quote-unquote loving person, where it's all about the image, right? What things look like. It's all about taking quote-unquote loving actions that are in line with a way of doing things or a community, culture, or whatever it is, but it's not actually about being in our hearts, right? You haven't actually felt into your heart and listened to what your heart actually wants to do. And honestly, that's a great kind of indicator if you're questioning, am I in my heart or am I in my mind? Am I in my ego heart? Is if your actions, if you're motivated by guilt, by shame, by shoulding, by other people's expectations, right? If that is the prime motivator, if that's what you're listening to, you're listening to that. You're listening to your ego. You're not listening to your heart. If you want to access your heart's innate intelligence, if you actually want to be in your heart, can you guess what you have to do? By now, if you're a long-term listener, you might be able to, right? You have to actually be in your heart. Yeah, you have to embody your heart. So that means bringing your presence, that infinite space of being that you are. If you have never made contact with this part of you, it's okay. You can just feel into it this moment. There's a part of you that has been here, always will. You heard me talk about presence in the last podcast episode, so you can kind of listen to that if you want to get a feel of it. Eckhart Tolle talks about presence all the time, right? So that space of infinite being, you want to take that presence, that pure awareness, and you're going to bring it into your heart. You're going to bring pure awareness into your heart. And this is totally different than just thinking about your heart or trying to make mental contact with your heart. Because when you come into pure awareness, when you bring pure awareness into your heart, you become the consciousness of your heart. Yeah. And totally different than just thinking about the heart or kind of meditating on top of the heart. So there's different kind of spaces of awareness that we can get into in meditation, where we're kind of hovering above something rather than going right into the center of it. And that is the difference, right? Coming right into the center of it, so much so that you're being it. This is where you get access to your heart's innate intelligence. And when I did this for the first time, because I was meditating on a situation that I could feel that I could easily build up years and years of resentment around, right? And never get over it for like ultimately the rest of my life. And I was like, I don't want to take that route. And I want to be able to see these people and hold them in love while still loving me and understanding and, you know, making sure my needs are met. And I just was scared that my heart would not allow those two things to occur at the same time, right? That if I were to actually be love in the situation, it would lead to me abandoning myself, abandoning my boundaries, abandoning my self-respect, and just totally becoming like, yeah, whatever you say is correct, right? Totally kind of becoming almost like subservient or, just like completely leaving myself out of the equation, completely, you know, releasing myself from having love. And I didn't want to do that. So I was really scared that if I brought this situation into my heart, it would lead me to do that. It would be like, Unique, your feelings don't matter, right? What's most important is that you are a loving space for these people, right? And so I was totally afraid that was going to happen. And so I went into my heart and wow, not only did that not happen, but I learned something that I received something I would never have gotten from my mind, right? So the heart is not just everyone is welcome here. Energetically, and I understood that, but I always thought that was something that the mind had to do. The mind had to control the heart, right, in order to make sure that the heart opened and closed appropriately. I did not know, y'all, that the heart is actually, it does that on its own. It is able to detect naturally who it wants to trust and who it doesn't, right? Who it wants to open to and who it doesn't, or who, and it's able to do that without, like, the way that the mind sets boundaries, where it can feel harsh, can feel like you have to keep ruminating about it or thinking about it, or you got to hold it like with a stank face, you know what I'm saying, right? You got to give it that kind of energy, like, get the fuck back, right? In the heart, you're actually able to have, and it doesn't even feel like boundary is even the right word, because you feel the love, you feel the connection, and you also feel that no from the heart too, like almost like this is as far, like there is a depth, and it's like the container for the relationship just kind of shrinks a little bit, and it deepens for others, like it's, and yet it's still like deeply connected, like it's so hard to explain, because it's like double meanings existing at the same time. And I've only experienced this within my heart, not in my mind, where when I started to go into my mind about the situation, my ego ramps up. I start to think of things I should resent about them, right? And I get further and further away from my heart. And so for me in this season of my life, I'm learning to live from this space more and more, because I am owning and recognizing my mind cannot do what my heart can. It simply can't. My mind is not capable of holding love and boundaries and love for myself and love for others the same way that my heart can. And last week we talked about accepting the ego, and this is part of it, accepting the limitations of the ego. I cannot go into my mind and think about this situation that occurred for me without starting to ruminate or build up resentment. You know, if I just am doing it from the mind is going to build up resentment, boundaries that are really harsh. It's going to build up hate. It's going to build up all that. But if I come into my heart, I'm able to hold both the boundary and the love. I'm able to hold both love for myself and for them, right? And so part of accepting the ego is accepting the limitations of the ego. And when you want to get different things done, use the right tool. You want to experience love. If you want, are looking for love, go to the heart, right? Go to the heart. If you want to approach something with love, go directly to the heart, go directly to the source. Don't hover above it. Don't think about it. Actually go and be in it. This also helps me to be more graceful with myself, right? Like giving myself grace. Because I know when I start to think about something, a really fucked up situation I had to go through this year, I know my mind is going to go towards resentment. And that's okay. That's what the mind does. And I can't guilt the mind or shame the mind for that, right? Again, that's not real love. That's not real acceptance. If I want to be in love, I have to actually be in love. I have to be in the heart space. And so that's my tip for you today. Not just tip, but that's what I wanted to talk about. Oh, one more thing. I knew I was gonna forget something. So I didn't forget. I remembered. Ta-da. Another thing about being in the heart, and the reason why boundaries don't feel as hard in the heart, is because I've learned in kind of repeating this practice and choosing to be in this space more and more and more, I've learned that the heart is not so much forming categories the way that our minds are, the way that our cortex is, right? It's not formulating strict rules. It's listening to and being aware of each moment. So it's moment-to-moment awareness, which means that it's going to hold a boundary until things change. And that allows for other people to change, for you to change. It's truly listening to the present moment. And this is really, really key. This is another thing that the mind can't really do when we start to form categories of what's safe, what's not, who's safe, who's not. We attach to the past. It requires constant attachment with the past in order to do that. It requires constant rumination of the past, bringing up the past again and again, which is what my mind kept doing, because it thought, if I'm going to hold a boundary, I need to keep thinking about it. I need to keep reminding myself of the trauma, of the hurt, of the pain. Our minds need that in order to hold the boundary, right? Because we need the reasoning of why the boundary is there. The heart, not so much. The heart is actually able to sense and feel into a relationship and give love to the fullest extent and still hold that boundary and still hold room for the person to change, for us to change. And this is remarkable. I feel like a breakthrough scientist here. I feel like I just landed something. Like, I could write a whole book about this, and maybe I will, right? The heart's strength is so different than the mind, and it's able to do this where our mind can't. And so if you're someone who knows you don't want to keep ruminating, you want to come into presence, right? You want to come out of the mind, come more into presence, come more into your body, come into your heart, embody your heart. It's so fucking cool. Coolest thing about this year. And I'm like, my birthday is coming up in what, 2 weeks? No, 3 weeks. Did that math wrong. My birthday is coming up in 3 weeks. And so I'm like getting into the state of reflecting on what I've learned this year. And this is a big one. This is a big thing. And like the reoccurring themes. And this is huge. Like, this is something that I'm so grateful that I've dedicated. I didn't intentionally dedicate a year to learning this, right? It just kind of happened. But it's something I'm really proud of. And I invite you to come into this awareness as well. Like I said, you don't have to do it all at once. It doesn't have to be from 0 to 100, right? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to set these expectations of, I'm going to do it every single day, every single moment of the day. I'm always going to be in my heart. I definitely know that tendency, and I have that tendency as well to want to go from 0 to 100. You can do it incrementally. This month's Bliss Body practice is here to help you and support you in doing that, and both owning resentment, right, and processing it through. This is not a toxic positivity thing. You have to, you actually have to go through those emotions that block the heart in order to get to the heart's intelligence. So if you find this to be difficult because you have experienced trauma, wounding, pain, suffering, all of that, we all do. Yeah, you do have to work through it, right? It's okay to feel that and allow that to be there. So this is not a 0 to 100 process, although it can happen, right? We can, just as I had, you know, that opening, that natural heart opening, we can also have that, right? Our spiritual path can drive us to the heart activating and turning on and ready for us. My tummy just growled, and I hope the audio didn't pick that up. I apologize. But it looks like my body is asking me to take a break. So this is what I want to leave you with. Practice being in your heart, not just thinking about it or hovering above it. Allow yourself to bring your infinite presence, your infinite beingness into your heart space, and trust what's there. All right, friends. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A lot of jewels and gems and whatnot in this one. And again, if you want to go deeper into this, right? So this is an accompaniment for month one of Bliss Body. And you are welcome to join Bliss Body. You're welcome. You're always welcome here. Although doors do open they're currently closed. They will reopen. So, you know, you're welcome, but, you know, you got to join at the right time. What can I say? The heart has natural boundaries, right? So you're welcome to join when doors reopen, or you can get access by coming into Wildly Orgasmic. I am getting so hyped for this program, and even though I am trying to keep my overgiving tendencies in check, I'm totally overgiving in this program again. Overgiving in like, okay, so this is something that I've kind of been coming to terms with, and bear with me here. So historically and even academically, I am someone who will overgive, like overwrite, write too much, right? Give a long-winded explanation. And now that I've like been sitting in this work for years now, I find that I can just kind of succinctly bring things to you and go right to the tool and kind of lose the fluff a little bit, right? So that's my approach to this program, and possibly to all my programs in the future, is being able to really poignantly deliver exactly the framework, the tool that you need to shift. So while your orgasmic feels very almost like punchy, like it's to the point, it's direct, it's right there, the practices are clear. It's almost like I've just become better and better at teaching, and I'm really proud of it. I'm tooting my own horn here. I'm loving on myself here. So if you are ready for that journey, want to get orgasmic with me, then that journey will open next week. It comes with audio trainings, weekly audio trainings, and practices, obviously. Those are like the backdrop of all my programs, but we also will have live practice calls and group coaching. I've added bi-weekly, what's the correct term for this? Every other week, group coaching to the program. Again, this program is 4 months long, so you get a nice window of time. There will also be break weeks so that you can stay. There's some practices that you'll want to spend a few more time with, just because it takes some time for us to build up those neural pathways, right? It can happen within one session, but oftentimes, you know, we have to repeatedly, it's like building muscle memory within our nervous system to feel pleasure in certain places and in certain ways, right? And learn to, for example, move energy and have those full body orgasms. You want to open up those energetic pathways. You might experience some blocks. That's why we have the group coaching there, so that you can also work through any emotional blocks or anything that you have that may show up as you are expanding, right? So just as when my heart started to expand, the desire to expand was happening, but I also had fear there, right? So there's a lot of fears that we can take on as women when it comes to owning our pussies, being in our sexuality, stuff like we're gonna lose control, right? We're gonna become a slut. I love the word slut now, so it doesn't feel the same anymore, but you know, like stuff like that, like it's not acceptable. There's a lot of fears that come up. Maybe it's not safe. I'm going to be targeted, right? And so I really wanted to include those group coaching calls because it's so necessary to the work. Even though in Wildly Orgasmic, we are mainly focusing on technique, on building up your orgasmic abilities here, we still want to include that emotional work. So you'll get both of those. And I'm actually considering, well, I will create a healing hub as well of healing practices. So if you know that one of your blocks is shame, for example, sexual shame, religious sexual shame, I'll have a few practices where you can go to for those kind of troubleshooting, right, as well. Because we all don't have a clear pathway to pleasure. We have stuff that we bring to the table that needs to be released, or we need to start telling new stories. So I totally understand that. So all this is to say, I've planned out a really awesome 4-month journey. I'm really excited about it, and hopefully you are getting excited too. and I'll have doors open for you in that first week of October. And we'll get into my birthday month with some big energy. So look out for that. I believe that's all I have for you today. Remember to get on the wait list if you haven't signed up already, because you'll only have a few days to join. And also grab those freebies that I have for you in the show notes. Everything is at uniquebell.com and everything is in the show notes. Grab all those goodies. And yeah, if you haven't already, subscribe to the show. Hit subscribe on whatever you're listening on. Leave a rating and a review. It really helps to sanctify the show. Huh, you see what I did there? Brought it all the way around. Really helps to sanctify the show. And if you have questions for me, leave them in my Instagram inbox. So you can actually pop in a audio message in Instagram and I will put that audio on the show. I'll answer your question on the show. That's a new segment that I've been trying to launch, Ask the Pussy Queen. And I've been getting some questions recently, and I think I'm going to answer them in next week's. We'll start answering them in next week's episode. So if you have questions that you want answered, pop them into my Instagram inbox. You can find me at Insta at @unique_bell. You can also find me on TikTok at @unique_bell. DM me your questions and I'll answer them here on the show. All right, my little royal beings. I was going to say my queens, but also my kings and my royal beings. Thanks for listening. I love you deeply, truly. Go into your heart. Bye. See you next week. Ooh.